This is a prove-it year for Jalen Hurts.
All eyes will be on him.
These franchises and organizations have put you in a great situation to have success.
We have had a trade. Eagles get A.J. Brown.
Touchdown! That's A.J. Brown!
Hey, let's do it, man. Hey.
I want to win it all. That's my expectations coming into this building.
I love the draft.
They bolstered the defense with Jordan Davis and N'Kobe Dean. The Philadelphia Eagles are the team to beat in the NFC East.
The standard has been set, and the only direction is to climb.
Safe to say the Eagles have made a busy, busy set of moves this offseason. We'll dive deep into whether or not they can make noise in the NFC as we say hello and welcome in to NFL Live. I am Field Yates, and I've got a crew left to right of Keyshawn Johnson, Marcus Spears, and Kimberly Martin. More on the Eagles in just a bit, but we're going to start today's show with more on Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson, who has been meeting with the NFL this week as he remains embroiled in 22 civil lawsuits. We'll bring Kimberly in here. And Kimberly, what's the latest on the league's meetings with Deshaun Watson?
Yeah, Field, like you said, he's meeting with the league this week in Texas, and the feeling around the league, while we still don't know how this is going to be resolved, the feeling is that we are nearing a conclusion, that talking to Watson was the final step for the NFL. They've apparently gotten a ton of information that they've had to wade through before meeting with him, and this seems to be the final step. It remains to be seen whether a suspension will be levied or not, but everyone expects that at least by training camp we'd have some sort of resolution, so at least the team and the player knows exactly what his status will be for week one.
A little more hurry up and wait as it pertains to this situation. And as the situation continues to unfold, Kimberly, what does it mean for the future of Baker Mayfield, who, as of right now, remains a Cleveland Brown?
Field, the Browns are so fascinating because there is interest around the league in Baker. There are a few teams that are still interested, but a lot of teams feel like the Browns have mishandled this situation because of how much money, guaranteed money, they've given Deshaun, how they've had Baker here and ruined leverage, so to speak. But I think with the Browns, there's what we would expect them to do, which is just cut bait. Whoever wants Baker, take him, just to sort of put that chapter to rest. But what the Browns are doing is basically saying, we're not forced to do anything with him. We have one quarterback who we don't know what his status is, Deshaun Watson. So you keep Baker on the roster. We could be in a situation where he is still on the team by training camp. It's unlikely, but the Browns are under no pressure to move him, and that will create an interesting dynamic. Do you want Baker around? Do you just say, hey, don't come to training camp, your excuse, or do you find him? This is a fascinating situation, Field.
Yeah, well, let's get the guys involved for more thoughts on this. And worth noting again, Key, that Baker Mayfield is a one-year $18.5 million fully guaranteed contract.
That's a lot of money.
A big part of the reason why he remains a Cleveland Brown. Do you think that the Browns should keep Baker Mayfield as an insurance policy in the event that Deshaun Watson does miss time to begin the season?
No, they have a quarterback in Jacoby Brissett, a guy who's won this league, a guy that the Indianapolis Colts several years ago believed in as their starting quarterback when they acquired him from the New England Patriots. Phil, I have no reason to believe that Baker Mayfield can walk into that locker room and the players will rally around Baker Mayfield. Plus, in this situation with Deshaun Watson, if in fact he is suspended, we don't really know what the situation is. We all assume. I believe Jacoby Brissett can hold things together until Deshaun comes back. Who's to say that Baker Mayfield is a better quarterback than Jacoby Brissett in the right circumstances? We will see for sure.
Key, you make the point. And listen, man, we're going to keep having this conversation about Baker Mayfield. It's a time thing. Baker Mayfield will not be a part of the Cleveland Browns, America. It's timing. Like, we'll get into training camp. We'll get further along in this offseason. Teams will make trades. Teams will try to acquire Baker Mayfield, seeing that they can get Cleveland to budge, maybe taking less compensation than they necessarily would in any other circumstance. But the bottom line is this. They paid a quarterback $230 million guaranteed and signed another one. And everybody gets on television talking about, well, should Cleveland keep Baker Mayfield? Would it be a good idea? Hell no. This conversation is blowing my mind. These people have signed two quarterbacks, Key, And KM, like, so when we move forward, moving this conversation forward, Baker Mayfield will play for another team this season. Baker Mayfield is good enough to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. It will not be in Cleveland.
It will not be. Not at all. When you look at it, though, I understand people's intrigue with the situation because they think that Baker Mayfield's been there before. He understands the offense. They're on the hook for almost $19 million, as Phil alluded to. But you got to remember, man, inside that locker room, there are not players that are coming to Baker Mayfield's rescue. The last time I heard any player say anything was at the end of the season. Nick Chubb said something, and that was pretty much it. Since then, you hear nothing, nothing at all. And, in fact, I don't believe there's certain people in other locker rooms that want to play with Baker just because he's polarizing. I like him. I think he's a hell of a quarterback. I think he belongs in Seattle, but it may never happen.
Well, at this point of the offseason, I would say nothing is a certainty. We'll continue to find out what the fate is of Deshaun Watson, who, again, is meeting with the NFL this week. Let's go from the Browns to the Bucs, who are on the field, and their OTAs continue today with some huge questions looming on their offense this year. We get Kmart involved one more time, and let's start with what you're hearing on a possible Gronk return.
So the expectation is that Gronk will come back to the Bucs. I know that's what a lot of people in Tampa are hoping. And new head coach Todd Bowles, he is not somebody that he is even keeled, calm, cool, collected, all that. He is not somebody that is pressed in May about Gronk right now. We assume that he's going to come back, but time will tell. As for Chris Godwin, though, this is the one we need to watch because I was thinking, you know, from conversations I had, look at October, November for Chris Godwin. I was told by somebody in the Bucs today, hey, don't be surprised if we see him September. Here's the caveat, though. He will be much better and healthier come November than September. So we might see vintage Chris Godwin. We have to wait a little bit, possibly November. And Tom Brady. He is not in Tampa. He is tricycling around New York City on his bike with the bells and the whistles and all that. But here's the thing. When it's go time, Tom Brady will be ready to go. Nobody's worried about Tom Brady and his absence. When he shows up, everybody understands it's go time.
Yeah, it's actually great weather right now in Manhattan, so not a bad day to be out there tricycling. Do we know for sure it's a tricycle? I feel like Tom Brady has much more luxurious methods.
He's on a bike. It's got bells.
Okay.
It's got bells.
All right, a bike with some bells. Who knew? Tom Brady, just like the rest of us, has a bike with bells and all.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
All right, so a busy offseason continued earlier today for the Eagles as the team agreed to terms with former Giants quarterback James Bradberry on a one-year deal that Shefty reports is worth all the way up to $10 million. The signing of Bradberry is just the latest move for the Eagles, who look to be going all in on Jalen Hurts in his third season. This offseason, they've both added key players on both sides of the ball and retained some guys. They traded for A.J. Brown. They signed Hassan Reddick. They used their first-round pick on Jordan Davis. They're also bringing back an offensive line that ranked top three last year in both pass block win rate and run block win rate. That seems pretty good to me. All right, so Key, there are a lot of pieces in place around Jalen Hurts right now. It sort of feels like everything is there for him to be successful. What's your level of confidence, though, that he can prove he should be the Eagles' long-term quarterback?
Look, man, he led two teams to the playoffs last year. What's the problem? Let's start there. Mm. This team is really close to the Dallas Cowboys. I don't know that they passed them, but they certainly closed the gap. It all is about the quarterback position and Jalen Hurts. They went out and got him toys to play with. Devontae Smith they drafted. They traded for A.J. Brown. They made some decisions on the defensive side of the ball, as you mentioned. They also drafted well. When you look at this football team, he is the future of the Philadelphia Eagles at quarterback. I don't understand why people think he's not good. If I gave you 4,500 yards of total offense, and half of it was in the air, and half of it was on the ground, 30 touchdowns split, 5, 6, 7 interceptions, You would take that from him. If I gave you that from a passing quarterback with zero run statistics, you would take that in a playoff appearance. What's the problem?
Yeah, I think it probably comes down to just how that playoff performance went, Key, when they were so, so miserable against the Bucs in the first half. But let's spin things forward here. Key's got confidence. Kimberly, how much confidence and how committed do you believe the Eagles are to Jalen Hurts in the long term?
Field, they are confident. I don't think this is a situation where the Eagles have said we're only giving him this year. But the Eagles are unlike any other team, which is we need to see some production. We need to see growth. And if we don't see that this season, we have draft capital next year. We have to explore all options. This is a great situation for Jalen to take the reins, to grow, to develop, and get this team back to the playoffs. And he has, like he said, all the tools to do that.
I think when we're having this conversation, KM and Key, context is very important. We see the moves that the Philadelphia Eagles are making, and they're kind of in the same vein of what we saw the Los Angeles Rams do. They're getting and acquiring guys that play at a very high level, i.e. A.J. Brown. Obviously, you bring in Bradberry, who people consider one of the top corners in this league, put him across from Darius Slay. You look at the draft. You look at the re-signing of Fletcher Cox. All of these things, the offensive line, we all agree that this was the best offensive line in the NFC East, in the division. I think they're neck and neck with Dallas. But to your point, Key, it boils down to the quarterback. Jalen Hurts, okay, has ascended and become a better player ever since I started watching him at the University of Alabama. Each year, he's gotten better at things that are flaws, considered to be flaws in his game. Now, ultimately, I want to caution people, though, because this is about what Howie Roseman, what that organization and that franchise believes they need out of the quarterback position if Jalen doesn't just blow it out of the water and make it no doubt. I'm going to give you all a history. Jared Goff threw for almost 4,000 yards. He threw for 20, he threw 20 touchdowns and 13 picks, okay? Not a great season. But Jared Goff had been to a Super Bowl with the Los Angeles Rams already. And they traded for Matthew Stafford because that was the guy that they felt like with everything around them, they could win a Super Bowl with. Now, it came to fruition, and it doesn't happen often in this league unless you're talking about Tom Brady or Matthew Stafford, but those things are in place. The Philadelphia Eagles are going to determine whether we decide if Jalen Hurts got better or not, or if he had a good season. They are going to decide, can we win a championship with his play style and what he's bringing to the table. So it does not mean Jalen Hurts will not have a good season if they move on from him. It's just not the type of season that they may be looking for based on the things that they've done around him.
All the pieces, again, seem to be in place here for Jalen Hurts. We take a look at the Eagles' schedule for this upcoming season. Recently released, of course, we have two Monday Night Football games. We cannot wait for those, of course, on our ESPN and family of networks. But Swaggy, I want to go back to something you just said right there because I agree with you. And it's worth noting that Philadelphia, by the way, has multiple first-round picks next year, plus an extra second-round pick as well from New Orleans in what could be either a very good draft or a disgruntled veteran becomes available in a trade. If we were to, is there a way to sort of quantify what success looks like for Jalen Hurts next year to prove that he'll be the guy next for the rest of for the foreseeable future? Is it winning a division title? Is it winning at least one playoff game? Or is that too difficult to answer right now, given all the factors in play?
Phil, we can go macro, right? We can all agree that if Jalen Hurts goes to the playoffs, he wins a game, wins a first round game, plays well, and they go to a second round and lose, but he plays well, then the Philadelphia Eagles have a decision to make. That's macro. Micro is this. The coaches that are in that facility every day working with Jalen Hurts are going to ask the question, is his skill set evolving enough for what we have in place right now for him to eventually be a quarterback that we think can lead us to a Super Bowl. He's not a lot different from his guy in Miami who he went to college with Tua Tagovailoa. Yeah. So now you have to figure out from the Philadelphia Eagles brass What are they looking for in terms of what the progression is that Jalen Hurts is making or needs to make in order for them to feel comfortable handing him $150 million in the keys to the franchise? That is entirely different. I'm telling y'all, it is entirely different from what we may think or what we may think we're watching. Because ultimately, like I said before, the Los Angeles Rams let a Super Bowl contending quarterback go in a trade, and we see San Francisco give away three picks for a quarterback that they went to the Super Bowl with. So it's not just about how much success the team has. It's also about Jalen Hurts' progression. And I will stress that as long as this season and offseason goes along, because ultimately what they're doing is positioning themselves in a weak NFC to be players and contenders to win the NFC championship and go to the Super Bowl. And Jalen Hurts is the piece that needs to evolve and become better in order for them to do so, I believe.
A massive opportunity for Jalen Hurts, or perhaps some pressure. More on that in just a moment. Let's stay in the NFC. It says, according to ESPN's Football Power Index, the Cowboys are the favorites to win the division. They give them a 45% chance to do so. They're seeking to become the first repeat NFC East champions since the Eagles in 2003 and 2004. That's the longest streak by any division without a repeat champion since the merger. So I mentioned opportunity, or perhaps pressure. And so, Kimberly, I'll ask you this first. Which quarterback in the NFC East do you think is under the most pressure to win this season?
Field, there's only one answer. It's Carson Wentz. Because he's playing for his NFL future. The minute the Indianapolis Colts, Frank Wright, gave up on Carson Wentz, you knew he was running out of time. If this does not work in Washington, that will be three teams, Philly, Indy, and then Washington, that move on from him. So this is a huge season because I know Dak will be in Dallas. Jalen Hurts, I know he will be somewhere. He has starting potential to Daniel Jones. Okay. I don't know what's going on with Daniel Jones, but he will still be in the league. I just don't know with Carson Wentz because of the ceiling with him and what the expectations were for him and for him to continuously disappoint. I think he's running out of time to be a starter.
KM, you are exactly right. Listen, this is different levels of pressure, right? And we all understand that Dak Prescott is not under pressure for his job, but Dak Prescott is under the most pressure because of expectations, what he's being compensated, and who we believe him to be in the NFL.
Yeah.
And that is the reason why I still give Dallas a little bit of an edge in this division, because their quarterback to everybody pretty much is the most proven, the most trustworthy, and the most consistent. Now, with that being said, okay, this is not one of those situations for me where I look at Dak Prescott and say, if he don't win a playoff game this year, the whole world is going to go crazy. It will go crazy, but the whole world within that building won't go crazy, because I'm sure it'll be another area of this football team that they feel like they need to address, like they tried to do this year with drafting in the offensive line. Ultimately, it's Dak Prescott, right? Again, macro. That's a word that I'm going to use a lot, y'all. I like that word. Dak Prescott has the pressure because he has the money. He is the quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys, America's team, and he also is expected to win. These other guys, people are patient. They trying to figure out what are they going to be. It will be great if Carson Wentz is great. It will be great if Jalen Hurts is great. If Daniel Jones reasserts himself, it'll be great. If Dak plays well, if Dak plays at a high level, people will be like, yeah, that's what we expect you to do, Dak Prescott. Yeah. So from that standpoint, the pressure is there. But the rest of these three guys, they playing for their jobs.
They sure are.
They playing for opportunities to start in the NFL. That's a different type of pressure.
It sure is. Well, one player who cannot relate to the pressure of having to play for your job is Cowboys all-everything linebacker Micah Parsons. He's been busy this offseason as well. Last night, here he is, throwing out the first pitch of the Rangers game. A little high, a little outside. However, I will say this.
Come on, Michael.
I think it's passable, personally. And certainly in the context of comparing it to his puck drop at the Hershey's Bears game. What are you doing, Mike? You don't just drop the puck. You got to wait for the guys to come up there and put the sticks down. Micah Parsons probably not going to be an NHL ref at any time in the near future. Not bad right there. I would have liked a little bit of a more assertive approach there from Micah, but who am I to tell that man anything about being athletic? He is a super freak. That much is for sure.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Odell Beckham Jr. struggled to find rhythm with the Rams during the regular season, but in the playoffs, he looked like the star receiver of years past. His reception percentage increased by 25% in the playoffs, and he more than doubled his yards per route run. He actually posted the fifth highest yards per route run in the playoffs behind the likes of Cooper Kupp, Devontae Adams, Travis Kelce, and Gabe Davis. You know, on Twitter a little while ago, this was late in April, OBJ said, "I will be back. I don't know when, where, but I will be back." All right, let's get Kimberly Martin here and some perspective. What are you hearing in terms of what interest there may be in OBJ around the league?
Yeah, Field, Odell is too good not to be back this season. The question is when. And I'm actually surprised that he hasn't signed anywhere. But again, I think it's because everybody understands he's coming off the knee injury. You know, Odell is a late postseason push kind of signing. That's, you know, when he, late October, November, that's when you bring him in. I still think LA makes the most sense. You don't need him to be a number one, but we saw that he is still productive. He is still a touchdown machine. He is still a guy that you have to account for on the field, and he makes any offense scarier. So LA, I would think that makes the most sense.
Yeah, KM, I'm with you on that. And listen, everyone knows my affinity for Odell Beckham Jr. He's one of my favorite people, favorite players. I'm afraid this injury tag is starting to attach itself to it. And I know these teams are still going to be very interested in his services because he was trending towards being the MVP of the Super Bowl before he tore his ACL. He tore his ACL the year prior to. And that is the part that makes me nervous about the type of attention that he hasn't gotten up until this point. Now, we can pass this off and say, obviously, the injury is the reason no teams are looking at Odell Beckham Jr. or he hasn't signed with another team. It's two things that's in play here. One, the Rams do want to bring Odell Beckham Jr. back. And the other thing is, Odell Beckham Jr. has the opportunity to choose where he wants to play football as well, which is huge. Because all that old adage of the grass ain't greener on the other side, well, it damn sure was greener in L.A. when he left Cleveland. It got way greener. Matter of fact, it was turf, baby facing KM, over there. You didn't even have to maintain your lawn. All you had to do was go out there and do your thing and enjoy that beautiful weather out there in California. Yeah. It's one other place, though, because everybody talks about the Rams. It's one other place that I think would be very interesting and a good move for Odell Beckham Jr.
What do you got?
And it's in L.A. with the Chargers. I think that would be a great opportunity. KM, you just said it. He does not need to be a one. Keenan Allen is the one. Mike Williams, who they signed just recently, is a big-time, over-the-top, physical, red area playmaker. OBJ work in the middle of that field with those two guys? On the outside, if you really want to ascend and you've been paying attention to what the Chargers have done to try to solidify themselves as legit contenders to win a Super Bowl, I think that'll be another place that Odell Beckham Jr. should be interested in.
I love that because Marcus and Field, back when the Denver Broncos traded for Russell Wilson, I know people at the Chargers were like, okay, that's cool, but still bet on us. Like, we still feel pretty good about what we're doing this offseason, and you have to. Because number one, the quarterback, Justin Herbert. We are talking about Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen. We understand Joe Burrow went to the Super Bowl. Justin Herbert is that dude. Mm. And they fully have built this offense around him. That Derwin James, like that, their entire defense. Like, this is a team that is poised – to quiet all the naysayers about, can the Chargers get over the hump? Can the Chargers win those games? Can they not shoot themselves in the foot? And this is a team that I think, adding Odell to the mix, like Marcus said, he doesn't have to be a number one. They could be scary good.
Free agency has been largely defensive focus for the Chargers this offseason. But OBJ in L.A. with the Chargers, that's got me feeling some kind of way right
now.
I love that swag, dude. Hey, OBJ may very well be the best available free agent. But let's wrap through a couple others that I think also deserve some mention. So, Swaggo, you go first. Who is a free agent that's still available right now that can make a major impact for a new team?
Yeah, for me, it's Jadeveon Clowney, Phil. And listen, I know the Gaudy sack numbers aren't there, but if you need a physical presence on the outside, Kansas City, Jadeveon Clowney could be a guy that's in play for you. I think he does improve your pass rush, even though it's not 12, 14 sacks. He pressures the quarterback at a very high rate. He's a good run defender. He's a piece that you can add like they did with Ingram to make you better on your defensive front and will add some pass rush to what you're trying to do. Jadeveon Clowney is an interesting case study for free agency because I think he could be a piece to a championship team.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Ndamukong Suh. All my free agent options, I want Gronk in Tampa. I want Ndamukong Suh back in Tampa. Listen, he's 35 years old, but the man is still productive. He is a big boy. He is a big boy that you got to contend with. Six sacks last year. He when you talk about injuries in Tampa, depth is important. He is a big guy, a big key to this offense, to this defense, and I think he will return to Tampa. I know he's got other options, but I'm hoping to see him back in Tampa because it makes too much sense, him and Todd Bowles.
Yeah. Keep an eye on that one there for Ndamukong Suh and the Bucs. 4 days after 10 people in Buffalo were killed in a local market, a number of Bills players visited the site of the shootings. Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs, along with head coach Sean McDermott, led dozens of players and coaches to the top supermarket, bringing flowers, serving food, and bringing comfort to a community devastated by the racially motivated killings. Members of the Buffalo Sabres and Bandits joined them. Josh Allen spoke about the experience.
For everybody to be on board, coming down here, knowing that it'd be heavy, it'd be tough. Obviously, unfortunate circumstances of why we're here, but to kind of be in the community, you know, give some hope, share some grief, you know, that's how we're gonna get past this. It still doesn't feel real. Time and time again, you see it kind of on TV and don't ever expect it to kind of be where you're at. And the toughest part, it, you know, becomes real at that point. And I think so many people, you know, felt the same way as I did, you know, finding out the news on Saturday and just being sick to our stomachs and not really knowing how to act, what to do, what to say. And there's really nothing that you can say other than we're here for our community.
The Buffalo Bills donated $200,000 to the Buffalo Together Community Response Fund. That donation was also matched by the NFL Foundation, bringing the total to $400,000 going to the community of Buffalo.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
When the 49ers traded up to pick 3 last year in the draft, it seemed logical that whoever they took would be in the quarterback driver's seat by the start of this season, probably at the latest. However, as things stand, Jimmy G remains under contract, and while the Trey Lance era may be expected to begin in San Francisco, it may not give the team their best chance to succeed this year, at least according to the Football Power Index provided by ESPN. It released its rankings this week, and according to the FBI, the 49ers would actually rank 13th in the league with Jimmy Garoppolo at quarterback, as opposed to 24th in the NFL with Trey Lance. Marcus, this sounds like a simple question, but given that it's, what, May 18th, I'm not so sure it is. Who should the 49ers turn to at quarterback this year?
Trey Lance, Phil. And listen, because of what they gave up to get him,
okay,
we haven't seen enough of Trey Lance sample size wise, as analysts, as people just watching the San Francisco 49ers play, to know if he's ready. But it's damn show time to find out, all right? And look, Jimmy Garoppolo, if he stays on this roster, I have absolutely zero issue with that. I don't believe Jimmy would want to stay. I think he believes he's good enough to be a starter, which he is, and he can help a team win football games. But you're at a point now, if you're Kyle Shanahan, and you're at a point now, if you're Lynch, that you've been to the pinnacle. You've been as far as you could potentially go. Last year in the playoffs, it was led by Deebo Samuel and that defense. Quarterback wasn't in play to be all that great, even though Jimmy had great moments during that run in the playoffs. It's time to turn the page to Trey Lance.
Marcus makes a great point about how far your QB can take you. There's a reason Trey Lance is on this team. There's a reason that they did not draft Mac Jones. They went to Trey Lance. They felt like his upside makes it worth all of this draft capital. Now, I also agree with Marcus that keeping Jimmy G, that's your insurance policy. You know, I cover a lot of AFC North games, and watching Baltimore last year, the backup quarterback, he is vital to your team. Between Baker going down, between Lamar having injuries and being out, having Tyler Huntley there, the Ravens felt like they had a good chance to win, regardless of the fact that Lamar was on the field. So I think in San Francisco, having Jimmy, even though he may not want to be there still, at least you know that your locker room loves him, that you have won games with him, that you have gone to a Super Bowl with him in the event that the Trey Lance experiment gets off to a rocky start.
You know, Kim, you make an interesting point when you brought up Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens. If you go back and you think about what happened there, they started the veteran quarterback in Joe Flacco. Then they eventually turned, as they sputtered along, they eventually turned to Trey Lance. Let's go back even further, you being from the tri-state area here and having followed the Jets and covered the Jets. Remember the Giants. Kurt Warner was there. Eventually, Tom Coughlin gave way to Eli Manning when they sputtered along there, and he realized, you know what, this offense isn't going in the right direction. I think that's what you do with Jimmy Garoppolo. You certainly keep him. You start him. And if it's not going the way that you want it to go, you have Trey Lance for that, Marcus. And I know you say, well, they gave up a lot to get him. Yes, for the future, not for today. This is a ready team to make another strong run. Why not just see what it is? Because if you go to Trey Lance immediately and it sputters along, you basically give up on the season. Because if you go back to Jimmy Garoppolo, you now have, in my opinion, ruined the young man's mindset of they don't believe in me because they're going back to Jimmy versus the other way around.
Yeah, it's not often that in May we have very complicated quarterback situations around the NFL, but in Cleveland.
It's not as complicated as me having to go change my shirt.
That's okay, Key. We won't tell America about that. We're just glad to have you back here for the remainder of NFL Live. But San Francisco, Cleveland, things are complicated right now.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Bengals are looking to avoid a Super Bowl hangover this season, but ESPN's Football Power Index doesn't like their chances. In fact, it gives them just a 46% chance to make the playoffs. That would rank 10th in the AFC and puts them behind both the Browns and the Ravens in their own division. Here's Joe Burrow yesterday on expectations.
You know, going into it last year, we knew we were good, but I think going into the playoffs, you know, we knew we could win. But we weren't really sure what it took. We just kind of went out there and played really hard and together as a team, and, you know, it worked out. Now we know what it takes. We have that experience in our back pockets going forward.
Man, I love Joe Burrow, and so I think if I could answer this question, you would know what the answer would be. But, Swagoo, do you have any concern of a potential Super Bowl hangover for Cincinnati right now?
Zero.
Yeah, agree.
Zero, babyface. Now, it's a harder road, right? Like, it's a harder road for them to get there, obviously. But I don't think the mentality and the mindset will fail them as they pursue and try to get to another Super Bowl. And one reason is because of what you just mentioned, babyface, and that's their quarterback. His maturity level, but his understanding of taking a game week to week and knowing that one week or one play doesn't determine the outcome of an entire game. Remember, this was the same team, and he talks about them being young, but they grew up a lot during that season and during that playoff run. This was a team that pushed Kansas City to the brink at the end of the year. This is a team that came back and beat Kansas City after being down 21 in the playoffs on the road, all right? And they had a shot to win the Super Bowl had it not been for the guy that ain't human by the name of Aaron Donald. Jamar Chase wide open on the sideline. Bottom line is this, though.
Yep.
I believe the mentality of these guys. I know Jamar and I know Joe. They are winners, and they understand that winning doesn't just happen. You have to do something to help facilitate that. I don't believe it'll be a hangover. I just believe this division is way harder because of the health of the Baltimore Ravens, who I will have number one going into the season. But ultimately, I don't expect a hangover from a mentality standpoint from this team.
It's not that the division is tough. The whole entire conference is tough when you think about it. And look, they are a nice young team. They caught people by surprise. There was about five games that they could have very easily turned and went the other way. The Raider game in the playoffs could have went the other way. A couple bad calls in the game, a couple miscues in the game. This is a different situation, a different story. I still think that they are ahead of schedule. You know, you don't just fall into the Super Bowl. It's a little bit of luck that's there and all those sort of things. What I would say, though, is when I played in Tampa Bay, we were a young football team for a couple years. Then we got better. We took some lumps in the playoffs against the Philadelphia Eagles. We brought in some veteran leadership, some veteran players, and then we got grown on them real quick, and we went on to win the Super Bowl. And that's kind of the way that I view the Cincinnati Bengals right now. A lot of success, young. By the time they start to get right, it will pop, and they'll eventually get that Super Bowl. But I don't think that they just going back. No, I don't.
Right. He Marcus Field, you know, if the Bengals were in the NFC, we'd be talking about them a lot differently. The problem for the Bengals is that they are in the AFC, their own division. Like you talked about, the Ravens last year, they dealt with an unprecedented amount of injuries, Lamar going down. The Bengals almost caught, it was like lightning in a bottle, and they rode that wave. But they have the piece, the quarterback, and that's the most important thing. But I think there is some, you know, naivete. Like the young guys that get to the Super Bowl, get deep in the playoffs, they always assume that you're going to get back there. And it's just not like that. Unless you're quarterbacked by Tom Brady, chances are you're not getting back to the Super Bowl. But this is a very good young squad, and they've got the quarterback of the future.
Okay. So I know y'all not trying to throw shade on the Bengals. I understand that. But this is a good football team, y'all. Like, this is
no,
not.
They are. They
this
are
is not somebody
team.
That.
Nobody,
that just,
nobody knows that more than me.
That just
Queen
happened.
Of Ohio. I know that the that Bengals just, are a good team.
No, they're good. They're a good
I
football
got you,
team,
but
they, Marcus.
But if you tuned in, you'll think that it's just by happenstance that they got to the Super Bowl. Mm. No. No. They
no,
have
but
a
check
top
this out,
five
though, Marcus.
Quarterback in the NFL.
But What's you, up? Marcus, you're but, picking the Ravens as the favorite, so.
I'm, not only are you
Kim,
picking the Ravens
I'm not talking
as the favorite.
About them.
Just go back to last
but,
year.
I mean,
Kmart,
I'm not talking about
there.
Them as Super. I got you. I got you. I'm not talking about them being Super Bowl contenders. I think they have just as good a chance as anybody else. And honestly, I really believe they do because of who their quarterback is and the level in which they played last year. Yo, that team went on the road and beat the Kansas City Chiefs at home. Mm. Like, that's not a fluke. They went to the Super Bowl and played against the Los Angeles.
I was there.
They went to the but so that's what I'm saying. Like, I get it. You can look through a season and say five or six games would have went the other way. That's the difference. Keyshawn, you know that. That's the difference in having a successful Super Bowl winning team. You're the only Super Bowl champion. So I just don't want people to turn on NFL Live and think that we saying the Bengals got lucky. No, they earned their way to the Super Bowl last year.
They certainly earned their way. But you got to look at how they got there. You got to look at that. Like Kim said, unless you got Tom Brady, it's not just going to all of a sudden magically be back in the AFC championship game. That's all I'm saying. And I get you too, Marcus. You ain't slick. Look over your left shoulder. Look over your left shoulder for me. Look over your left shoulder for
me,
Marcus.
Both of them.
Yeah.
You see, you ain't slick.
Both
I see that helmet in the back. You ain't slick.
Hey, Keen, you just mentioned a minute ago, if you have Tom Brady, that's a good thing. Well, the Bucs nearly didn't have Tom Brady this offseason. And here's Joe Burrow on Tom Brady's retirement. How about this? Quote, did anybody actually think he was going to be retired? I think he wanted to shut down the conversation because if he didn't announce his retirement, everybody will be talking about, is he retiring? Is he not retiring? So I think he went ahead and did it to get everybody off his back so we could think about it. Again, it was 40 days. That comes via the Full Send podcast, by the way. So, Kmart, your thoughts? You buying this conspiracy theory thrown out there by young Joe Burrow?
I buy whatever Joe Shiesty is selling. And Brady, he's just too maniacal. He's at home. He's flipping the double bird, thinking screw everybody else. He's watching TV. Like, he wants to get in everybody's head. That's how Brady is. So I could see that happening.
All right. So perhaps Tom Brady just needed some time or perhaps not. Who knows? I've given up trying to figure out Tom Brady's present or his
future. He do whatever the hell he wants.
A big one tonight. We have game one of the Eastern and Western Conference semifinals tonight on ESPN and the app. Our coverage of Rangers Hurricanes starts at 7 Eastern, followed by the battle for Alberta between the Oilers and the Flames. And speaking of hockey, our one more thing takes us to the Avalanche game last night where Russell Wilson took in the game and saw his new team win in overtime. I've seen him at Nuggets games. I've seen him at Avalanche games now. Soon enough, he'll be taking grounders for the Colorado Rockies. Of course, a baseball background. Swaggoo, it feels like Russell Wilson's made himself a man about town so far in Denver.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's great he's ingratiating himself with it, but he is the football version of Drake. He just got teams all over the place. He want to be a fan of everybody. Russ, hey, listen, be a fan of all Seattle sports teams, just play for Denver, okay? That's what I'm going
to
say.
Hey, it's a good team to root for in the Colorado Avalanche. They look like the potential Stanley Cup favorites. NFL Live, back tomorrow. We'll talk to you later.